his helmet while the play was going on. That's a defensive penalty. The game can't end on a defensive penalty.
Gammon will snap it. Straczynski will hold it. Morton Anderson, the oldest player in the NFL. 30 yards away. Anderson, he nails it. Kansas City wins.
And Dwayne Rudd goes down as making one of the biggest mistakes in Cleveland Browns history.
That was 2001. Deerdorf, there were a lot more to come after that. Dwayne Rudd is one of the biggest mistakes in Cleveland Browns history. Since then, we've had Baker Mayfield cut, Deshaun Watson signed, Shedeur Sanders drafted in the same draft as another quarterback. I mean, God, if that was the worst thing that the Cleveland Browns have done, hold my beer, Deerdorf. Let me tell you about the next 25 years and what it's going to be like for those Browns up in Cleveland, man. Oh, my God.
I also love that he gave reference to Fire Marshal Bill. Let me tell you something. Let me show you something. Let's say you're a bonehead and you take your helmet off on a defensive play. Well, you can't end the game on a defensive penalty. And then a fire erupts in Cleveland Browns Stadium.
Yeah, that's great. That was a good pull by you, Nathan. Way to go.
It was fun. I forgot all about that until you brought that up in the last segment. So that was a fun trip down memory lane. I was very young.
I think the hero in that whole entire thing is John Tate.
Yeah.
He picked the ball up and just
started running.
He knew.
Yeah, exactly. He just started running.
Wait a minute. This is a live ball.
Yeah.
All the way down to the five. And Morton's like, I think I got that.
I got this. We're good to go.
Morton Anderson was the oldest guy in the NFL then.
Yeah.
And he's my age today.
Yeah.
38-year-old Morton Anderson, oldest guy in the NFL. I'm like, God.
Yeah.
Dog, man.
I mean, but think about that. You know, you had Kendall Gammon as the long snapper. Mm-hmm. Dan Straczynski, who I totally forgot about, was the punter slash holder. And then Morton Anderson kicking it through. And, you know, Grandpa Anderson at that point in time. You're right. 38 years old is what you were. Today, it puts it into perspective.
And he's rocking the single bar handle.
That was some good stuff back then, man.
Some good stuff back then is what a lot of people have kind of, I've seen on Twitter and, you know, Facebook posts and all this sort of stuff. And I want to emphasize on consider is the key word, right?
Mm-hmm.
Consider. Because I know you guys have seen it. If I've seen it, we've all seen it. I feel that our algorithms are pretty much the same, being around each other quite a bit, that everybody wants Eric Bieniemy back. I think there is a role for Eric Bieniemy on this team, and I'll explain. I think you bring him back to be the running backs coach. Does that not make sense? Because you and I both clowned last week that Todd Pinkston is the running backs coach with what we think with no credential, right? He's a wide receiver.
Miscast.
Yes. The two things that the Chiefs have to do this offseason is revamp and readjust. And they kind of need, in my opinion, a little bit of that red-ass discipline. And I don't know who else would do that on the team if they're allowed, but it seemed that was kind of like Bieniemy's role, right? If he was the offensive coordinator, we know he wasn't calling the plays. We know it was Andy. That was the narrative then. It's the narrative now with Nagy and all this sort of thing.
And everybody in between.
Right. And so that, I think, is a role where Bieniemy can come in, where he can still kind of be that role, but also be in charge of the running backs. We know that the two skill sets we have seen on this team that have taken a dive over the last couple of years has been the wide receiver room and the running backs room, right? You have a running backs coach coaching the wide receivers, and you have a wide receiver coaching the running backs.
That's right.
Make it make sense. 6-8. And I think that if you brought in a running back to be, let's just say, for instance, you go with the mock drafts and they take Jeremiah Love out of Notre Dame, would be amazing, right? I don't think that's going to happen, but let's say it does. Why not bring in a voice like Bieniemy that could keep people accountable, right? That's why, like, LeSean McCoy got all pissy at the end of his career because he was getting yelled at and just stopped fumbling the ball.
Yeah, fumbled, man. Like, that part you seem to forget.
And you have somebody who actually has the credentials to coach running backs, right? And I think that would fit that there. Also, would you consider a guy like Tyreek Hill to come back? Now, I know you don't want to do the run it back thing. Yeah. I know you don't want to have old players come in here, but they did it with Kareem. And I'm not here to pick and choose on who was and who, you know, has a worse history, but they had that meeting with Kareem Hunt. And we always had said before, you close one door, it never opens again. well, there's an opportunity because you're going to have Patrick Mahomes, but we think be out a couple of games, at least what I'm predicting, that he might be out until like week 4 or 5 of next week's season.
I think if you're planning on him to be there opening day at this point in time, that's kind of a foolish way to approach it. You have to take the conservative approach.
High hopes, and maybe it works.
And maybe it does, and maybe we're wrong, but I still wouldn't plan on it.
And if you do that, because everybody says, well, the offense was so much better when Mahomes and Eric Bieniemy were on the same. Well, Mahomes is also younger. They also had Tyreek Hill. And if you need that crutch, no pun intended, when you've got coming back from an injury to an ACL and now what we hear is an LCL, and you want that deep threat and you want that offense back, why not kick the tires and see what you can do? Now, I know that contract is big, and I know that you'd have to have some sort of like whatever it may be, but we're in desperation mode right now. You're out of the playoffs for the first time since 2014. You're in a complete rebuild, and you could have that deep threat that everybody wants. That everybody says, well, they drafted Worthy. They drafted Mecole Hardman to replace what was Tyreek Hill. I don't know if it's going to happen, but also another thing that you could have is that we don't like what the receiver development has been. Why not go ask Jeremy Maclin or DeSean Jackson if they'd like to get into coaching and maybe come coach some receivers?
Well, Jeremy Maclin is coaching at Kirkwood right now, I think, and whatnot. You know, it's a lot of work. I don't know if people want to do that made all that money in the NFL. That's why they don't. But there's a couple of things. Number one, for me, I am not interested in putting the band back together. We've done that. We've seen that happen. It never works, right? Like, it doesn't. We love nostalgia, but in sports, nostalgia is not something that we should ever go back to. Guys are older. Guys have been gone. Guys have done their thing. I'm speaking more on Tyreek Hill for this point than I am for Eric Bieniemy at this point in time, because Tyreek Hill is also older. He's coming off that wicked ass knee injury. There's no guarantee. Like, I have more confidence that Patrick Mahomes is going to be able to be the old Patrick Mahomes, and Tyreek Hill could be the old Tyreek Hill because of how much speed and push off and acceleration and all that kind of stuff, you know, that he, you know, is good at. And then also he's older too now. He's in his 30s right now. The difference between him and Kareem Hunt for me is desperation. Kareem Hunt was signed midseason, right? Week 4, whatever that was, week 3.
Out of desperation.
Out of desperation. You're going into an offseason. You should never be desperate going into the offseason where you have to find a wide receiver that's a has-been and bring him in, or an offensive lineman that's a has-been. I think those panic signings, if this was week 3 of the NFL season and Tyreek Hill was scratching his ass and you needed somebody, maybe I would consider it. But you're going into the offseason. You need a better plan than Tyreek Hill going into the offseason. I think that plan just sucks. But desperation midseason, it's something to have a conversation about. The Eric Bieniemy thing to me is interesting as a potential running back coach. What's his title in Chicago? Would he be able to, he's not the assistant head coach or anything up there?
I don't know that much. I just know that he is the running backs coach.
And so, you know, you have to factor that in as well. But you also let Eric Bieniemy go for a reason, right?
He was your offensive coordinator.
Yeah, but you also let him go. You could have kept him around and, you know, done some other things with him if you really wanted to keep Eric Bieniemy in the fold. I think that marriage was just over at that point in time. You know, sometimes marriages just end. Whose fault is it? I don't know. It's just time to break up. It's time to move on. The guy was on a bus by himself at the last Super Bowl parade. Like, that to me was very eye-opening. I'm just not a big fan of throwing the thing back together and putting the band back together. I'd like to go out there and get new blood, get new young blood, and start this thing over, 2.0. Like, break away from the past as much as you possibly can and start to move forward and create a new identity for this franchise, because Tyreek Hill and Eric Bieniemy to me are band-aids when you can draft younger guys or maybe hire a different coach that could be a long-term solution for you. I'd rather invest in the potential long-term than going out there. I just feel like those two moves are panic moves and desperation moves, and I don't feel like this organization is in that spot where they have to panic and go into desperation mode right now.
But you would agree that he would be an upgrade to your running back coach in the running back room?
Eric Bieniemy? Yes. Yeah, oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do think that would be an upgrade. But again, I don't know how they left. I don't know, you know, do you hate each other? Can you work together? What the dynamic was. I mean, they were trying to push Eric Bieniemy out the door for a couple of years and nobody would hire him, you know? So I don't know how that relationship could work. The older I get, the more I'm like, I gotta put the band back together. It just never works, man. Like the reboots of TV shows and things like that. You're like,
I think in an off season where you're going to have a lot of moving parts and a lot of new blood, having a certain thing at running back coach sounds pretty good. I don't think a better running back coach necessarily would have been the difference in this year's running game. But like, knowing the Chiefs are going to draft a guy, hopefully early in the draft this year, and like knowing you're getting a red ass to like help instill that ground and pound game, like, I'm for that. I'm in on him as your running coach if the relationship is fine. I got to pass on Tyreek Hill. I think coming off the injury, he's not going to be what he used to be. And then like, you've got the speed guys on the roster. You've got Worthy, you contender Thornton if you want I think a big possession, like man-beating receiver is all I'm interested in that room.
Yeah, yeah. I'm interested in a bigger guy. Yeah, I like Thornton, too. Yeah, you got to draft a bigger, taller wide receiver. And it's a good point on the running back room. Would he have made a difference this year? Probably not. It ultimately comes down to the players that you have, and the running back room was pretty much empty this year.
Right. Coming up on the other side, we get with D. Hughes in the news. Dana Hughes will join us on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports. We'll get to Dana Hughes here in just a little bit. He'll join the show as he does every Tuesday at 7:20. Mahomes has successful surgery last night,
right?
In Dallas to repair the ACL. We found out the LCL as well. And then it just said rehab begins now.
Yeah, like, immediately. He was probably rehabbing last night, right? Like, I'm sure today, Dusty, knowing who Patrick Mahomes is, I'm sure we'll probably get pictures and whatnot of him, you know, leaving the hospital or starting to lift or, you know, whatever the case may be. But this is going to be Patrick Mahomes' toughest offseason that he's ever had, obviously, you know, and, you know, leading up to the start of the season. And this year, in this offseason, it's usually about getting better, right? And working on those things that you need to do, or maybe establishing kind of a rapport with your receivers and the new guys that come in. This offseason is going to be all about Patrick Mahomes trying to rehab and get that leg back and that knee back so he's able to go, you know, when opening day rolls around or shortly thereafter, you know, opening day. So, I mean, it's going to be a completely different offseason for Patrick Mahomes. I'm interested to see how he balances getting ready by himself, you know, for himself, and then doing all the stuff that he normally does with, you know, pack camp and all that kind of stuff. So it's going to be interesting to see how he balances this offseason because he's never had one like this before.
Yeah, that and not only, you know, how he bounds, but what he looks like moving forward. Like, are we going to see, you know, the same type of runs outside the pockets? I think that will probably be limited.
Right.
But also, could he be more damaging if he is just a straight drop back passer? And I think another thing that could go in the offseason is to maybe, you know, have, you know, more gelling or maybe more trust in what is your offensive line.
Yeah.
Because what we can agree on is that the one thing they don't need to do in this offseason really is offensive line work, right? Like, you think you have basically what your offensive line is for the future, and, you know, you've got the kid they drafted at Ohio State.
Right.
You've got your left guard and Sua Mataia. Mm-hmm. You have your center. You have your right guard, and you have your right tackle, right?
Right.
It's going to be Jalen Moore next year.
Maybe it's this Pole kid or whoever. But, yeah,
you could be your sixth lineman off the bench,
right,
which is a good have to have there. Caliendo probably maybe come back and, you know, give him a cheap contract.
And then that guy Godsmack that was playing the other day out there. Mm. I mean, you got him coming back as well.
I really hope that's his name.
I do, too. It's something like that. So, I hope he's coming back as well. No, so I think you're right about that. But there also has to be a trust buildup between, you know, Patrick Mahomes and that offensive line. Because I think Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion anyway, and this is the way that I view it, and I could be wrong, and maybe I am, but it sure seems like his first instinct was to bail out of that pocket as opposed to going out there and sticking with that pocket. And I think at times that probably hurt, not physically, but hurt Patrick Mahomes in this offense that he was so busy looking to get out of the pocket as opposed to, you know, being that guy who stays in, you know, the pocket and has the trust in his offensive line. But it's hard to have trust in something or someone when they have proven to you over the years that they're not going to be trustworthy. And for 2 years, Patrick Mahomes had to deal with an offensive line really not getting the job done. So put yourself in his shoes, right? How much harder is it for you as a human being to trust somebody or something that's already wronged you, right? I mean, it's hard to build that trust back up. And so Patrick Mahomes has to do that because the offensive line, in my opinion, was not an issue this year. Mm-hmm. I thought it was more on Patrick than it necessarily was on the offensive line.
Yeah, because you look at, like, I think Josh Simmons, you know, obviously the issue he had, and I don't want to say it's an issue, he just had like a family thing that he had to get fixed up, and then came back and it was friendly fire, freak accident, right?
Right.
And then you have him coming back next year who kind of knows the, you know, the schedule of the NFL, the ways it goes. And then, you know, you look at left guard, Sua Mataia was a great surprise. Mm-hmm. Like, he was, you know, what you could say, demoted from left tackle to left guard. It worked out.
Yep.
Creed Humphrey is your guy. Trey Smith is your guy.
And I think that they will get out of the contract of Juwan Taylor and move Jalen Moore there, or whatever Esipola can also do as well.
Right.
So I think when you look at that and you kind of look at what Patrick Mahomes had happened to him this year, where it was like, you know, inevitably like running around all year, eventually finally got him wear and tear, and it collapsed, yeah, right? The knee got injured. I think that when you look at the situation that could change next year, which could create that sort of pocket passer for Patrick Mahomes, is you've got to, you know, get into his mind like, hey, this is your wall. It's fine. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, whatever that, if it's the tennis ball test from the old Madden plays, right, back in the day, where you duck and you move and you get him to that point. And then all of a sudden you tell yourself, hey, we've also got this new running back in here. We're going to incorporate more running plays. We saw what we did last year that didn't work in the last couple of years. We're going to do this again and try to figure this out. That's going to take some time off of you. And then all of a sudden, you know, you could be lethal if you can trust and you can have those options open. Now, you know that you're going to have a revamped wide receiver room. I think the two on the roster coming back next year will be Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy.
Barring a trade, yes.
Yeah. And then everybody else, you would think Juju, Thornton, all those guys, Hollywood Brown, not going to be on the team.
I would bring Thornton back, though. Would you bring Thornton back?
I'm not against it.
Yeah,
I think he's been your best deep option, yeah, right, if you want to have that sort of nugget in your offense. Mm-hmm. And then you have to think about the hole that you might have at tight end,
mm-hmm,
right? I know there's a lot of people out there that say, oh, why not go offer Kyle Pitts money? You hate that. Yeah. You and Alex, father, son, total anti-Kyle Pitters, which I get where you're coming from. Yeah. It was a big game on a national broadcast, and he goes nuts.
It shows you who the character is of a true person. You play noon on Sunday with Spiro Dede's calling your game, and you put up those same numbers, okay? You don't save those for the prime time.
And maybe that was one of those situations where it finally clicked. I don't know, right? Sometimes it happens in life. Like, you start to figure things out when you're 31, mm-hmm, or maybe you figure things out when you're 22. Now, his rookie year, he was good. Mm-hmm. He was really good. He had 1,000 yards. And then they kind of had the up and down at quarterback play. And then Kirk Cousins goes in there, and you know he's a gunslinger, threw for over 300 that game, and he found where Kyle Pitts was. Maybe that's something that kind of jolts him into that spot, or maybe to your theory, that was, hey, man, I really want to get a second contract in the NFL.
Yep.
I better start showing my talents and my skill set, and this game right here will get me paid. I don't know. I don't know where to believe,
yep,
but I would take, you know, the first part and think that this guy was drafted fourth overall out of the University of Florida. He's a freak athlete. He's got the talent, got the skill set. And maybe you have the theory of new face, new place.
Maybe, but I wouldn't go out there and break the bank for a guy who I consider.
I'm not saying that.
You know, he's a grifter at this point in time for me in the NFL. I hate when athletes do not do what they're supposed to do. And then the bright lights are on. The contract years, you know, the late Therese Paylor used to say, is always undefeated. And that's why for me, when I look at the way the guys produce in their contract year, I really can't factor that in, because why haven't you been doing that all along? Where has that effort been? Where has that production been throughout your entire career? And so I look at a guy like Kyle Pitts as a guy who had an opportunity and took advantage of that opportunity and probably will get some sort of payday off of that opportunity. But I just think this offseason has to be approached where you're looking at Patrick Mahomes now in a different light than maybe you've looked at him in the past. And you have to look at Patrick Mahomes, in my opinion right now, as a guy who needs that help, is older, and you've got to start protecting Patrick Mahomes. And that means you have to start bringing in that running game, and you have to bring in better weapons around Patrick Mahomes, because he can't continue to carry, you know, this team forward, because it's just physically impossible at some point, right? You just get to that certain stage where you're just like, I need this help. I can't do this anymore. And he's still obviously one of the best quarterbacks in the game, but he can be an even better quarterback in the game if you get him that help around him that he's going to need to take this thing to the next step.
You anti-Kyle Pitts?
I think so. I think
because somebody says you can find a Kyle Pitts in the draft or on another team that's not as expensive.
Yeah, I think I'm passing on him and looking for an option in the draft.
The one problem I will say is I don't want people to try to say who's going to be the next Travis Kelce. That's the thing that I don't want to like see people try to put that sort of pressure on somebody that's new, that's going to come in and try to be like, well, this guy will be the next Travis Kelce. I don't want people to have that sort of, you know, aspirations for somebody. Because I think that they did that with Tony Gonzalez. Like, who's going to be the next Tony G? Who's going to be the next Tony G? And then, voila, here comes Travis Kelce, who's miles ahead of what Tony G was in the NFL, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah, and I just think
for the Chiefs because of what success came with Travis Kelce and right. not what came with Tony G, and then obviously the comments made when he went to Atlanta, I think that also hurt.
It did. No, it definitely hurt. And then, you know, he wants to be back in because they're winning and all this kind of
stuff.
But
why not
right
take
now?
An Atlanta tight end that they're not winning right. to a team that is winning, where we sent a Chiefs tight end to an Atlanta team that was winning?
Yeah, right. I
you see what I'm doing
yeah,
here?
I do see that. I just have, like, Tony Gonzalez was always good, even when the Chiefs weren't. Kyle Pitts, man, I don't know. I just have a hard time with those contract year players.
All right, let's get to Dayton Hughes here on 96.5 The Fan.
You hear him on game days in the booth.
Quickly, they get chunky and funky with stretching the fields vertically.
And Thursday nights at 6 during Players Only.
Spitfire, hot fire take.
Here's Chiefs Radio Network color analyst, Dayton Hughes, on your new home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right, Dayton Hughes, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and also brought to you by Flight by Yuengling. The next generation of light beer, which I assume Dayton Hughes had quite a few of those on Sunday evening. Dayton, we do a segment coming up next after you called One Word. One word on how you felt Sunday at 3:30.
Oh, man. Shocked, I guess, would be the one word that comes to mind. But before I get deep into this, I think there's a full conspiracy going on here. You guys were trying to call me for my segment. It didn't go through. The referees don't call pass interference. What else? Oh, Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. There's a lot of things, a lot of dominoes falling right now that I think there's a conspiracy specifically against me going to Northern California for another Super Bowl. So, you know, I know we have to make it about the Chiefs, but I also think it's about me, too.
You think we have a vendetta against you?
Yeah, I think I'm starting to think so, man. I just turned 55, got this new little pain in my side that just showed up. Not going to be part of the playoffs. You guys can't get a hold of me. Like, there's a lot going on.
Well,
man.
I may need
some help.
I was hoping we couldn't get a hold of you because they're going to get rid of Connor Embry and let you be the wide receivers coach next year.
I don't think that would be on the table. And
would you consider? Would you consider it?
Doubt it. No,
you couldn't leave Mitch, could you?
I've stayed away from coaching for all of these years for a reason. So, but I do think that there definitely needs to be some tightening of the screws with the wide receiver crew. Maybe some discipline in regards to route running and extras and so on and so forth. But yeah, there's going to be a whole off season for us to be able to dial into that because we have the talent there. We just need maybe a couple more bigger pieces at the wide receiver position, taller guys, bigger guys that can exploit one-on-one coverage, and then also, you know, guys catching the ball in traffic, so on and so forth. So as a former wide receiver, I see the, you know, the kinks in the armor. I see those little things and nuances. I bug Josh Klingler during our pregame show every week. I seem to, like, point out things. We're looking through our binoculars at the receivers running routes and warming up, and I'm tapping him on his shoulder, like, watch this, why are they doing this, why are they doing that? So he gets a healthy dose of it, too.
How long has that position been a disaster and Patrick Mahomes just made it look good?
I wouldn't say it's a disaster. I just, like, it's kind of one of those things where, and I'm sure, Bob, you've been on the air for a long time, you know, there's probably things where as soon as we hang up, in your mind, you're like, man, Dayton said it like this. I probably wouldn't have said it like that. Or he's got all the uhs and ahs and stuttering. Or you listen to other radio shows and you hear things that don't really make sense. It's not that you're trying to be elite or an elitist. It's not that you're trying to, you know, downgrade those people and their circumstances. It's just that you see things or you hear things. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how I am being around the game. I've been here in Kansas City for what, 32, almost 33 years now, playing here for the same organization, seeing greatness, not just on display when I played with guys around me, but ever since then and playing with the Tony Gonzalez's and playing against Hall of Famers and playing with Joe Montana and Marcus Allen and DT and guys that are wearing gold jackets, drafted with Will Shields. I've seen greatness before. And then being a student of the game, because I wasn't the elite wide receiver, I had to be smart. I had to be crafty. I had to be a little edgy just to be able to survive in the game. So when I bring all of that to the broadcast booth, like, there's some scrutiny that comes with that. And it's not directed like I dislike these guys, but there's some things that you look at and you like kind of shake your head like, why are we doing this way? Why are they doing it this way? How come he didn't go up for this ball? How come he didn't separate a certain way? Because I had to survive that way. So it's not a critique, I guess, or a massive critique, but, you know, I always learn. You know, you were great friends with Al Saunders.
Yep.
And he was my receiver coach. And he used to say, you're either getting better or you're getting worse every single day. You're never staying the same. So then I bring that into the booth with me. I'm like, okay, do I see better? Do I see worse? Because I'm not supposed to be able to see the same. So where are we at? And then my eyes go to the wide receivers, and I do that for every position, but the wide receivers is the one that's near and dear to me.
Mm-hmm. You saw a couple weeks ago through your binoculars and your eyeballs the facial expressions in the moment that Travis Kelce took in. You talked about it on the show.
Yeah.
Can his last pass of his career be come from Gardner Minshew?
It looks like it's going to be that way. I mean, I can't imagine him, you know, being put on the shelf for the rest of the season. There's really no reason to do that. But where it stands right now, you know, with all of the greatness that we've seen on display and the productivity and the Pro Bowls and all pros and everything else, record-breaking scenarios that we've seen with Patrick Mahomes, it looks like, at least unless he decides to come back for another year, and that has to be worked out from a contractual mm-hmm. standpoint, it may be from Gardner Minshew. And you know what? I think, to me, there's some finality in that. Like, I don't think that riding off into the sunset, catching a last-second touchdown from Patrick Mahomes in next year's Super Bowl is necessarily going to be in the cards. I think that's, like, to bank an entire offseason and preparation and dealing with your wedding plans and all the stuff off the field and coming back and playing high quality football. He's having a better year than he did last year, but then to assume that next year you would finish it in better fashion and going through all that work just because you want to ride off into the sunset on a high, I don't know if that is something that you should legitimately be thinking about. I watched Jason Kelce talk about this mm-hmm. on SportsCenter, and I agree with him. You get away from the game, and it doesn't take long, or I should say it shouldn't take long, but you get away from the game, and you start to reflect, and you decide, do I want to do this anymore? Do I want to pour in what I did over these past 13 years? Do I want to do that anymore? And then you come up with an answer.
Yeah, and it's not an easy answer, but it's also a final answer. So you have to make sure, you know, everybody's going to want the answers today. We do in everything in life, Dane, and whether it's stadium news, Mahomes' injury, mm-hmm. Travis Kelce's retirement, we want that information right away. And a lot of times it's better to let all these things just kind of take their time and percolate so you make the right decisions. What would you tell Travis Kelce?
I would say peace of mind has to be at the forefront of your existence. It has to be about, I know what it takes to be an elite NFL player. I know what it takes to be a leader on this team. I don't have the ability, nor do I have the want to go away, buy a house in Florida, Arizona, or California, work out on my own, and then just come back when training camp is here. I don't have that luxury. I'm not Aaron Rodgers that's going to go away and just show up when it's necessary. I got to be poured in 100%, especially coming off a disappointing season where we didn't make the playoffs. And what would I have to do as that veteran presence in the locker room, on the field, et cetera, and am I willing to do that? And then you got to sit and, like, I remember when I decided to retire, I called my agent, and I'm not trying to compare myself and my accolades to Travis Kelce, but the mindset is the same. Mm-hmm. 6 years, 7 years after I was in the league, I called my agent and said, hey, don't call me again. I don't even want to be tempted. And I sat and prayed with my wife and decided that it was time for me to move on. Everybody has their own type of process, whether it's based on injury or just mindset or age, but taking that time has to be at the forefront of your mind. And then the decision has to be, I exhale and I am totally at peace with this decision. Now, unless you're, you know, Philip Rivers, which,
right.
But that's a whole, that's an anomaly. But I would say for Travis, I think that has to be the mindset that, you know, I'm not looking at what else I can do per se. You know, all that stuff is waiting around the corner for you. It's about the peace of mind that, am I going to be totally okay mentally, emotionally with walking away from this game right now and moving on and not looking back?
Dan, what would you say is the approach moving forward with this team? Obviously, three games left, one against Denver on Christmas Day at home, and then the Titans this week. What's the approach that you see this team doing forward?
It's evaluation time. Like, I am of the school of thought, yes, you go out because there's a scoreboard, because there's a clock, yes, you're supposed to be focused on winning the game. Herm Edwards said it. I believe it. The scoreboard matters, mm-hmm. especially in the NFL. At the same time, multiple things can be true. At the same time, it's about evaluation. And I think if you told me, or if I told you before this season, that this would be a disappointing season to the extent that we would not make the playoffs, not a disappointing season that we would have lost in the playoffs, but to not making the playoffs, I think this is a perfect scenario in that. If we knowing it as early as possible, so that we can evaluate what we need in regards to supporting cast members. We already know what the stars, based on the money, et cetera, you're going to try to navigate around if you're Brett Veach and Andy Reid and Clark Hunt. But the supporting cast members, okay, now what are you going to do with three games left that's going to prove that you can still be a piece of the puzzle for us in the rebound effect of 2026? And guys have to take that personally. And I think we haven't necessarily, because of the successes of this team, you never really got the feeling of guys fighting for their careers, fighting for their NFL lives. And now you do. Like, when you are 2-14 and 4-12 with Romeo Crennel and Todd Haley, I think the mindset of those guys was, you know what? I better hurry up and turn up the volume because this could be my last opportunity in the NFL, because what I'm putting on film is not necessarily going to draw other teams to me. And because we're losing here, it may not secure my job here in town. So that's got to be the mindset. And that's really going to be a new concept for a lot of these players that have grown up during this stretch of AFC championship games and Super Bowl appearances. And that's the nuance. So I feel like if I'm a player in that locker room, or if I'm a coach coaching up these guys, it's not just about the X's and O's and the game plan. It's about, let's turn this film off and let's talk about what you guys, what's really on deck for you guys these last three games. And just understand from a man-to-man standpoint, and I feel like there's coaches on this staff that will do a great job of communicating that.
All right, before we let you go out in 30 seconds or so, what are you expecting from Patrick Mahomes' rehab, and what is your expectation for next year with Patrick?
I expect Patrick to attack that like a rabid dog, and I look forward to seeing what the rebounded effect of that from Patrick is, because I think that's a component that can galvanize this organization, rejuvenate this organization in the right direction to get back to a championship culture. And that might be eliminating some other pieces, but I think based on what we know about 65 TPT, what we know about Patrick, you're going to see social media posts. You're going to see a lot of different things about his journey back. And that could be the catalyst to something really special for this organization and Chiefs Kingdom.
Sounds like players only could be really special, educational, and emotional on Thursday, Danny.
Yes, you hear the juices flowing mm-hmm. right now.
Yeah, I know you're. I can hear the pen. I can hear the pen to paper getting ready to rip some takes on Thursday, buddy. Well, hey, take care, brother. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Danon.
That's Danon Hughes there, brought to you by Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Kansas City. Discover the benefit of blue, and brought to you by Flight by Yingling, the next generation of light beer. Nathan Will.i.am takes over on One Word on the other side here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
Do it to it, Laws.
Or Nathan, shout out heavyweights.
That's right. No Mac today. I'm taking over on One Word. We're going to start with the low-hanging fruit. Mahomes undergoes a successful surgery for his ACL and his LCL. One word on the surgery for Mahomes.
Good. I think that's what we expected, right? You know, expected is also another word we could use. If anybody thought Patrick Mahomes is going to wait around and not have this surgery as soon as he possibly could, you were wrong. And they did it as soon as they possibly could. That guy had surgery on Monday night, folks, right? Like, everybody's getting ready to go to bed and call it a night. Patrick Mahomes is undergoing surgery. That's his dedication to himself. That's his dedication to the sport. That's his dedication to this franchise. He wants to start this rehab and get back as soon as possible. And I'm sure we'll see Patrick Mahomes doing rehab before the season's over here in the next 3 weeks.
Wrong or right that the guy that performed the surgery was the same one that performed Rashee Rice's surgery? Is that right?
I don't know the answer to that question. I don't know.
I thought I heard that. My one word is rehab, right? That's what's going to happen. That's what they said. As soon as it's done, I think that Mahomes, we've seen it. We know it, the tenaciousness that he has, the ferocious competitive, as one Eric Bieniemy once said, a competitive prick. You think that happens just on the field? No, man. He plays Uno, Spoons, LCR, or LRC, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Dude wants to win. What's his next opponent? A beaten up knee.
That's
in
right.
Rehab. So I assume he's going to take all of that and put it into rehab, and hopefully we see him, you know, sooner than later.
Can you imagine what he's going to be going through to get his body and leg back now in shape to play in the NFL? Like, if it's not grueling enough to go through an NFL offseason of rehab and getting yourself ready when you're healthy, man, those rehabs from those ACLs look brutal. And there's going to be those dark days. And that's why, you know, we talked to DJ on Mondays, and he said when he did his Achilles, he was so thankful that Mike Parsons? DeVito injured it as well at the same time, so they could work together, because it's dark times, man. There's a lot of times you're on your own and you're doing it, and you're like, is there ever going to be any light at the end of the tunnel? And so there's going to be some of those dark days for Patrick Mahomes. He's going to get through those. He's going to be good, and he'll be back. So what are you laughing at?
The top text.
What does it say?
Who do you guys think misses more time, Joe Burrow or Mac Morey?
I'm going to go Mac Morey.
By the way, it is the same doctor. Cowboys specializes in LCLs. He also just did Travis Hunter's LCL as well, according to the text line. So.
Yeah, those guys do basically everybody. You know, you got Dr. James Andrews for the Tommy John surgery. He did all those for years. Dr. Anderson did, you know, the feet and the ankles for years out in Charlotte. So you go to the best, you know, when you're in the NFL, because money doesn't matter. So you go to the guys who are the specialists and all that kind of stuff. So if this guy's doing it before, great. I'm sure Patrick was in great hands with
good
that.
Good thing it wasn't Dr. Phil.
Yeah, no doubt.
Or that doctor for the Chargers. I'm going to
one of those. Patrick, you hurt your knee. How do you feel? Well, let me tell you about the book of the year here in Dr. Phil. Go ahead, Nathan.
Ryan Russolo of Barstool says it might be unfair to compare Mahomes to Brady, which I agree with, but it's kind of not the norm what we hear from them. So listen to his take, and then I want to hear one word on his take.
Tom Brady went 9 years without a Super Bowl win. From ages 28 to 36. But the challenge for Mahomes is everything he's doing is being compared to one guy. And it's a bit like LeBron, where there's no LeBron accomplishment that anyone cares about doesn't mean that he's going to overtake Jordan. And like, no one's ever changed their mind on that. I don't think I've ever met one person that went like, you know what? I was always a Jordan guy, but after that 20 run, you know, after the scoring title thing, I've changed my mind. Like, no one's really changing their mind about this stuff.
You know, we kind of said it yesterday a little bit. We've got to stop the comparisons between Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. There may never be another Tom Brady, and that's okay. I mean, what he did and the stuff that he was able to accomplish is remarkable. So my one word is stop. Can we just now stop and just let Patrick Mahomes play out his career and let's reevaluate it afterwards? Because we were all, and myself included, in a rush to give him the crown of the greatest of all time. Meanwhile, we had a guy that was pretty damn good for all of those years. And the Jordan LeBron comparison is interesting because, you know, he's right. I don't think many people sway to, you know, from one side to the other when it comes to the Jordan LeBron thing.
Yeah, I think it's the conversation is true. I've had these conversations before with friends of mine, just, you know, spitballing around. I think it is the same because you can look at Tom Brady and look at Patrick Mahomes and say, who's more athletic as a quarterback? Who does more different things? You can look at who's a better winner, right? Like, Brady's got the Super Bowl rings and all that on his resume. And the same thing with like LeBron and Jordan. Like, LeBron's a freakish athlete. He's a better athlete than Michael Jordan, but Michael Jordan was a better winner.
Yeah.
And, you know, the comparisons are always going to be there. That's just what we do in sports. That's just, it comes with the party. But again, yeah, it's a normal conversation to have the same sort of Jordan, LeBron, Mahomes, Brady, until we're dead and gone and it's somebody else in Brady.
Yeah, it gets kind of lazy.
Yeah.
There was a football game last night. It was sloppy. It was cold. Mm-hmm. Two teams that are like technically in contention, but everyone knows aren't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. I want one word on it, but specifically the guys that scored touchdowns for the Steelers mm-hmm. included Connor Hayward,
yep.
MVS, Jonnu Smith. Their leading rusher was Kenneth Gainwell.
That's
and
right.
Rogers said that these cast-offs having success is what makes that team so special. So one word on the game, but also just like the Steelers who are 8-6.
Well, the one word on the Steelers being 8-6 is Tomlin. The one word on the game for me is it was a snooze fest, for lack of a better term. But, I mean, you got to find ways to motivate any way that you can. And if you use being a cast off from another team as a motivating factor to win a football game, by all means, go ahead and do it. But he's not wrong. It is a bunch of cast offs, you know, including him, you know.
Yeah, last night was my one word was obvious. Your boy won 170 last night betting a four-leg parlay. Ty Warren, who was battling an illness, but Mike Tomlin on Monday night is just a different dog, dude.
And he won 23 straight at home on Monday night in Pittsburgh.
That was there for you. Tua Tagovailoa can't win a game under 40 degrees. Neither can the Miami Dolphins.
Right.
It was freezing. It was Monday night, and it was in Pittsburgh. The -3 was a walk in the park. So for those of you that trailed it, it was the proof was in the pudding, and the pudding last night was the Steel City of Pittsburgh yeah. and Mike Tomlin. So props to them. They continue to do what they're doing, and Mike Tomlin keeps blowing kisses to the haters.
Hey, he does. Yep, he does.
Yeah. One more quick one here. The Jack Taylor, coach of the Bengals, came out and said that they're not resting Joe Burrow. Ugh. They have to win. And Dusty, your stance has been, well, the Chiefs are giving you the blueprint. Guys are going to get shut down now that they're out of this thing. One word on the Bengals continuing to play their maligned, I don't know,
foolish. It's foolish. And the Chiefs have given you the blueprint. You've got to follow it. They showed you what happens, right? Not that the Chiefs did anything wrong by playing Patrick Mahomes, because they didn't. But after you saw that Patrick Mahomes went down and you've got an injury-prone quarterback in Joe Burrow, or a lottery ticket, if you will, in Joe Burrow, right? You could either trade him this offseason and cash in big, or you're going to have him back next year. Either way, what's the point in having him play these final three games of the season? Because if he gets injured, your trade bait is done. And also, your guy for next year is done. So I think the Cincinnati Bengals had it gifted to them by what happened with Patrick Mahomes. And so have these other teams. Man, if you're out of it, get your quarterback out of there. There's no reason to play him anymore.
Yeah, it's useless. I mean, I think what they need to do is just go have him talk to a counselor. Go have him talk to somebody. He doesn't need to rest for injury. He needs to rest for mental, clearly. Yeah. Because, you know, you don't want to see somebody that might be able to be a generational talent, you know, have some sort of issue that he can't be, you know, talked to about. And I think that's the thing. And I don't think right now football is the most important thing for Joe Burrow to do in life.
No. And I also think too, with a guy like Joe Burrow and getting him somebody to talk to, that's 100% what he needs to do, because you got to find out where his mindset is. And I hate to be flippant when it comes to the mental health side of things, but the franchise also needs to know how they need to prepare going forward, right? Are you in or are you out? It's not like you're an offensive lineman or a defensive back or a skill position. You're the leader of this franchise. We need to know whether you're in or out.
Because even if we don't know if you're in or out, like, is this a phase is not the right word. Is this a moment in time where you're frustrated mm-hmm. with these injuries piling up, or are you really reconsidering this thing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. honestly, where are you at?
Go listen to Marshawn Lynch. Get your mental right, then get your chickens, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, get your mind right, then worry about your money.
Then worry
and
about everything
else.
If
your money's right and your mind's right, then everything else will work according to plan. Marshawn Lynch, a blessing in disguise. Coming up on the other side, Bob's Boneheads here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.